Hi, I'm Shay.
And I'm David.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, it is a special throwback episode. Singular.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about doing two, and then I forgot that that's not what we were doing, right?
Yeah, we'll do two if we can't get through one.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But today we're looking back on a top 10 that we did ages ago. I think this is at least the farthest official episode that we're kind of redoing or re-looking back on. We're going back to our 30th ever episode in 2019, and talking about our top 10 favorite game mechanics.
Yes.
So back in 2019, it was our 30th episode as a special episode. Yep. We decided to do a two-parter where we each talked about our top 10 favorite game mechanics at the time. And with some example of those games, and we decided that we're going to look back on the ones we picked and see if we still agree, if there's ones that we would add. I certainly know more about games now than I did at the time.
Listening at it, I could tell we were newer.
Oh, for sure. Right? Those of you who have made it through the early episodes of us recording, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We weren't very good.
What? We were green.
Yeah.
So we are on episode 249.
Yeah.
So this is 219 episodes ago we did this one.
Yeah.
Our tastes, we've had an episode where we talked about how we've changed as gamers.
Yeah.
And this is just going to reiterate that. We're going to do a few of these where we look back at some of our earlier episodes and revisit them.
Yeah.
Especially the top five, top 10 ones.
Yeah.
We didn't do a lot of them, but there are a few in there we'd like
to. Yeah, and we've done, like, we go through every year and look at our top 10 games, right?
Yep.
But it's interesting to see tastes in terms of mechanics and stuff, and as our knowledge increases, how that kind of changes, right?
As we talk about what our top 10 were to what they are now, I think mine got more specific.
Yeah.
Right? As opposed to worker placement.
Yeah. Yeah. mine are still pretty broad because I like the broad terms, but there are caveats to some, and I definitely added some in.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like when I did it today, I went through the games in my collection and said, oh, I like this part of that one. What does BGG call it?
I definitely added one in here that I did not realize, based off a game that I really like, and I did not realize that's the type of game it was. But
Yeah, so let's get into it. Let's see how quickly we go through
this. Yeah, we got 10 to get through. So
we do want to give it its own justification, right?
Yeah.
If we find that we are going to go too long, we'll just do a second episode like we did the last couple of weeks with the last subject.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 10, Shay.
Mm-hmm.
You can start.
Sure. My number 10 was on my list. I will say probably about half of my list does match from before because I just found it easy to understand and I still really like those games. But they've definitely moved around a little bit.
Yeah.
My number 10 is Press Your Luck or Push Your Luck as it's listed on BGG.
Yeah.
So this is, and I wrote down little notes about from BGG what their explanation for it is. They say it's like settling for current gains or choosing to risk it all to possibly get higher rewards.
Yep.
It's gambling, basically, right? So these are games like Quacks Quedlinburg, Clank is one that they mention, a game that we just talked about a little while ago, Spots. So these are games where you are just pressing the edge of possibly losing everything to try and get a higher reward. So Quacks, pulling stuff out of the bag, possibly you could explode. You know, that's what these type of games are. This went down on the list for me, I know. I actually forgot I didn't bring the list that was my original list.
Oh.
Because I transferred it to a better notebook in better writing and forgot to grab the other one. But this definitely moved down. It was higher up before. I think there's just other mechanics that I now play more.
Okay.
Rather than this one. But I still really, really enjoy these games.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah,
right?
I'm not much of a gambler, but this style works pretty well because you can still be a little bit safe and do well.
Yeah, exactly. So my number 10 previously was Push Your Luck.
Yeah.
Now it is Engine Building. I like engine buildings. I like combos. I like that if I start a game with a small engine and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, that my end turns are longer, they're better, right? This is a mechanic I've always liked. And just as we play more and more games, that whole one recent one is White Castle, where it's all about getting those combos and stuff like that. I love that. Wormspan. Wingspan. All prime examples of engine building, even though BGG doesn't say it is a
mechanic. I was going to say, it's amazing that this is a mechanic on your list when it is not listed as one, although I also have one of those. So
we did do a whole show on whether engine building is a mechanic.
Yeah.
Okay, Shay, my number 9
yeah.
previously was simultaneous action selection.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is track movement.
Oh, interesting.
I like tracks in games. They're very common in Euros, and just I'm not good at this mechanic, mm-hmm. but I love having it in a game. The one I just played Zolkin again, and I actually moved up on my tracks very well in that one, and I believe I won that for the first time ever. Gaia Project, I've always done a good job of moving up the tracks. This is very common in different Euros. Teotihuacan has it, and it's just, it could be a god track, it could be a military track, doesn't matter. If there's a track to move up on, it usually helps you in the game, and I like that, where you do something and you get to move up. So that is my number 9.
Absolutely. I think that was on my list previously as well. It did not make my list this year. Or sorry, not that one. The simultaneous action was also on my list. I think it was around this spot. I know it was on the list. It was around here. And it just kind of got moved off because I found some other ones I kind of liked. My number 9 was on my list last year. It was higher up. And this is tile placing.
Okay.
Now, I'd say it's tile placing, but it's not... When I talked about it last time, it definitely would have been more something like Carcassonne or like Between Two Cities, possibly. Although I don't know if I had played it at that point. It would have been kind of the more simpler tile placing. Yep. There are now more tile placing games that I play that I really like kind of how they've mixed up the tile placing, where it's just a little different. So like now Castles is one we play all the time, right?
Yep.
That is tile placing, but with other things in. Cascadia is another one of those. I would even say Clank Catacombs. While not the main part of that game, is still a tile placing game.
Yeah.
So I still really enjoy this because you're kind of, you can either be, you're placing a tile to gain points, right? You can either be doing that in a very simple way, or you can be doing it to complete something. Sorcerer City is one that we got, that you're making a new section each time, or you're unveiling a world like Clank Catacombs. There's so much you can do with it, and I think it's quite fun to see what people are coming up with.
And the tile placement that we play the most of is the polynomials.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? We got Planet Unknown, we have a lot of...
Isle of Cats,
Isle of Cats, Baron Park. There are a lot of tile placement games, and there's games that have it in it that I like.
Yeah. I'm never one, I should clarify for all these mechanics, a lot of the times the games that are only a mechanic, I'm not a fan of. They usually have multiple in them. These are just mechanics that are in games that I enjoy.
Yeah, if we have time to discuss this, and if we don't, it probably will push into next week.
Yeah.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah. Let's go to my number 8. This is a new one. And the reason this one's on here is because I was looking up what Spellbook is qualified under on BGG, and I was very surprised, because it is classified as a hand management game.
Yep.
Now, BGG does classify hand management as getting the most values out of available cards, usually by playing them in a certain sequence or group. This does include items, especially in the case of Spellbook, where it's a little set collection as well, where you're collecting items. I also say this is something where if you have a hand limit, you're trying to maximize what can be in your hand at a time, right?
For sure.
So I've seen that in things like Wormspan and Wingspan, but also classic versions of this is something like Gloomhaven. Or Gloomhaven's a big one because you're playing the cards and you are losing those cards slowly over time, right? So you're trying to maximize the use of those cards so that you can win the scenario.
Yes.
And it's just, there's a lot of games that have that in it where it almost inches into that press your luck where you're kind of like, you have a time limit for a lot of them, right? And you're just trying to make the best of what you have, that I find really interesting.
For sure. Yeah, no, that's a great mechanic as well. So my number 8 previously was tile placement as well. And it is not on my list anymore. Actually, I'll go through that later. But mine for this year is grid movement.
Oh.
I like games where you're moving around a map to do stuff. We just played Djinn, which has that where you have to you're moving and you can't backtrack of the way you came. Mm-hmm. You're trying not to run into other people. Really neat mechanics. You know, we talk about Orleans and Altiplano. Altiplano has that grid movement to it where you're moving around the board. And I really like that addition to a game. This, I'm not going to play a game that's just grid movement, but I like games that use this mechanic. And that's why it's my number 8.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, number 7 previously was card drafting. Now it is the follow mechanic. So this is where somebody takes an action and everybody else follows him.
Oh.
They usually don't get the same action or they get a lesser action.
Yeah.
This has popped up more and more in games for me that I've played. Example, Earth. We just did that. Roll for the Galaxy, Race for the Galaxy.
What's the tree one that we played?
The tree one?
The one where you're putting the things down and then you put the little trees on top.
That's Earth.
Is that Earth?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm thinking of the planet one. I thought that was the planet one.
New Frontiers is the planet one that.
Well, it's the one we just played where you're putting, it's polynomial, but you also get to take a tile.
Oh, Planet Unknown.
That's it, yeah. Sorry, that's the one I was thinking of when you said Earth.
Yeah. So I like this idea of we're all doing something at the same time, but somebody gets a bonus and it's not the exact same action.
Yeah.
Like Boone Lake does this really well, in that, you know, you take an action, everybody else gets to do a lesser action of that one. Or in some cases, there's like one action where nobody else gets to follow. Great mechanic, but it can be tiring. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you never have downtime.
No, you always have to keep going. Yeah.
In the lighter games, this is a lot easier to get through. In Boone Lake, I found I was exhausted at the end of that game because it's a heavier game. There's a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
But this is a mechanic that really has taken over from
simultaneous action
selection for me, because it's not everybody's doing the same action, where I find in simultaneous action games, people get lost in what they're doing.
Right.
Right. And it's not that they're cheating, but they just miss stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Where in this one, it's a little bit easier to track what everybody else is doing and it works better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool.
Number 7,
Shay? My number 7 is a new one. And it is one that in 2019, I would have said I hated. I would have said, absolutely no way I won't play these games. We've talked about this on the show before. It is worker placement. When we started, I hated worker placement games because, and this is what I mentioned, pure worker placement games, I'm not really a fan of.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of games where that's the only thing you can do. I'm not a huge fan of stuff like Viticulture. There are lots of games I play that have a worker placement aspect to them with other things. So worker placement, you know, you're placing a token, a worker, to take an action.
Yep.
Games like Everdell, one of my top games. It's at its heart worker placement, but also card and tableau playing, right?
Yeah.
Anachrony is worker placement. Raiders of the North Sea is worker placement. All of these are fantastic games that I love to play, with this pretty much pretty standard mechanic, that's super simple. It's place a guy, take an action, right? And it works really well in addition to other mechanics, in my opinions.
For sure.
Like with other things, it's great. I don't really like it by itself still. But this is me acknowledging that, you know, in an official list that I like worker placement games.
Well, I think what came out of this is you were bashing worker placements. Then we did our top 10 of the year.
And then I realized I have a ton of work.
Like three to six.
I have at least 3 of them on there because Everdell and Anachrony for sure are on there.
For sure.
Yep. My number 6, right? Yep. It's me. This is actually one on my list that I could not find on BGG. I thought it existed on there. Very hard to find. It's a two-parter, technically. And that is dice rolling and dice drafting. These are on my list last time. Dice rolling is on BGG. Dice drafting is not, which is funny to me because there are lots of games that where you are taking dice and then using them, right?
They group them differently.
Yeah, and I was trying to find what they officially put that under. I couldn't find it, so I'm making my own thing. I'm including it with dice rolling. Dice rolling is simple. You're rolling the dice to do something. Dice drafting is usually you've rolled the dice and then you take them and use them for something.
Yep.
So the obvious ones are Dice Hospital and Dice Theme Park. They have very unique dice drafting systems and dice rolling systems with moving them to be patients. But also something like Role Player, where, you know, you're rolling dice and using them, taking which ones you want to build up your stats.
Sagrada.
Like, this is a very simple mechanic, and it's in a lot of things, and it's fun to see what people do with it. I will say, like, to be more specific, I tend to like the ones where you have dice mitigation.
Yeah.
I play some D&D. There's a little, honestly, there's even mitigation in D&D. So,
for sure.
You know, when you have the ability to change the dice a bit, that makes it very fun. I'm not a fan of just straight up dice roll. Like, I'm not really a Yahtzee player.
Yep.
But this mechanic works so well, and I think it adds a lot of tactile feel to a game, which is really fun.
Yeah, and honestly, I've played a few, what we call dice chuckers, like Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
It's fun chucking a bunch of dice.
It is really fun rolling a whole bunch of dice. It's a good time.
And this isn't a new mechanic by any means. And they've moved away from roll and move.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the thing. This isn't roll and move. This is specifically, that's why I merged the two together. It's specifically where I'm rolling dice, but I'm also picking which ones I want to use and using them for something, right? Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so my number six was deck / pool building.
Mm-hmm.
It is now tech trees.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I have...
Love me a good tech tree.
I have really gotten into some good tech trees, and that's like Beyond the Sun this year has been fabulous. Founders of Gloomhaven has a good tech tree to it.
Did you say like TI4 Rollin' Right would be kind of a tech tree? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. It's anything where you can't reach a second technology until you do the first technology, or two of the first technologies combined to make the third technology, right?
Yeah.
I love that in a game. And we've played quite a few games that have a version of this, and we just really have had a lot of fun doing it. And Beyond the Sun really stands out
because
it does it. It is so much Tech Tree, the board game. And Anno 1800, same thing, where I need to build this, but I have to be able to produce these other two resources. You know, that's a tech tree in my mind. And so that's why this one is on my list.
Absolutely, yeah. Super fun.
Yeah. Number five previously was Variable Player Powers. My new number five is Hand Management / Action Retrieval.
Nice.
I combine these because I like games like Concordia, where you have 10 cards, you're playing them out, you can add cards to that, but you don't get to double up until you bring those cards back, right? You know, one of my pet peeves in board games is when you play a game and there is six actions, but everybody only just does two.
Right.
Right? Those other four just get ignored. I like that you have to do that, and I'm gonna liken this back to Orleans and Altiplano again, where Orleans, you're choosing the same things out of the bag because they always go back in. Where Altiplano is, you have to go through that bag before you move on.
Right.
I liken that to this card management and drafting, like Bitoku does this. We've played a lot of Rococo this year, which has this in it as well. And it's just a great mechanic that I think more games should do, because I want to explore a whole game. I don't just want to do one thing in a game. And that's why I probably don't do as well in games, because I will try to do everything.
Yeah, yeah.
and a lot of games reward you for doing one thing.
Yeah.
Right? So that is my number five.
Perfect. You're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR. We are making our way through these top 10. We're doing pretty good. Thank you to our sponsor, Amazing Stories. We'll see you at our next game night on
the 8th.
The 8th.
Posters, I think right now say March 1st, but it is the 8th.
We are not here March 1st.
Yeah, so we are not in town on the 1st, so it's getting pushed back to the 8th. And I will put that on our Facebook and the Bridge City Board Gamers Facebook.
Yeah.
Try to reach as many people as we can.
Awesome. My number five is one you mentioned, deck building.
Yes.
This was on my list before. I still love deck building games. I think it's very fun to start with a base deck and slowly try and build it up and make it powerful.
Yep.
This isn't like Magic. I'm talking games like, the one I just got this year, Queen by Midnight, which is deck building, but also attacking people, right? Like, it's Battle Royale. It's very fun to see what people can do with it. Clank is a classic example. Dominion is the first one to have done this. It's a very old game mechanic. Yep. But I just like that. I like that everybody ends up with different cards at the end of the game, right? You're always going to play something different depending on what you see.
Yeah.
So it makes a game super replayable and different every time.
Yeah. This is a great mechanic. My number four.
Yeah.
Was 1, 2, 3, 4 hand management. So that one slipped a little bit.
Yeah.
It is now deck and bag building.
Hey!
So we both see this at the same spot, and we play a lot of Clank. I play a lot of games that have deck building in it now, like Dune Imperium, Lost Ruins of Arnak. There are a lot of games use this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ones I've mentioned a bunch of times, Orleans, Altiplano.
Yeah.
Those are your prototypical bag builders. I just got a new one, which is an older game called Hyperion, which is a bag builder with cubes that I'm really looking forward to trying. It's got a bit of a war game feel to it, from what I can see. These are fun. These add variety to every game.
Yeah.
I am never going to have the same deck each time. I'm never going to have the same bag each time.
No.
There are, like, I think in some games you can get close, right? Where you're going to buy the same pieces each time. But you'll never do it identically.
No,
you're
especially with the size of some decks, right? It's really hard.
Yeah, so I really like the idea of deck and pool building in a game for that variety of the game itself.
Yeah. By the way, you forgot we were going Serpentine again, and you skipped over my number four. My number five was deck building, and you went my number four.
I thought we were. I thought that was your four. Sorry.
Nope.
Let's do your number four, I'll go back to mine.
Perfect. Yeah. My number four is a new one because at the time we hadn't played many of these games, and it's become one of my favorite games to play, and that is deduction games. I love deduction games. In fact, it's low on here, but probably one of my games of the year is a deduction game, and that's Turing Machine.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, you're finding hidden information using clues, right? I love puzzle solving. I love solving puzzles, and, you know, getting these clues and trying to, you know, by the end of it, figure out where I'm supposed to end up. It helps, too, especially since I've moved out, that a lot of them can be played solo.
Yeah.
And so I can, you know, instead of pulling out a puzzle book and playing Sudoku, I can pull out a board game and, you know, be Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
Or figure out a code, right?
Yeah.
Tons of fun.
And this genre has exploded a little bit recently.
Yeah.
And they're pushing the envelope. Something like Turing Machine is very original.
Very, very different, right? Yeah. But then, you know, you got, like, Cryptid, and you got Awkward Guests, and you got Search for Planet X. Like, there's so many good games in this category.
Yeah. This was in my short list, but didn't quite make
it. Oh, really?
Just because I'm not very good at it. I don't mind playing them, and I'll never say no to a deduction game. And these are true deduction, not social deduction.
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I didn't make my list.
Fair enough. Do you want to do your number three now?
I'll do my number three. This is Rondell / Mancala.
I figured this would be on here for you. Yeah.
I just played Trajan on Friday, and it just reiterated how much I love this mechanic. Initially, I really liked this mechanic because Jordan struggled with it, and I could just pound on him in games because I don't beat him that often.
Nope.
He has gotten too good. But there are a few games that I just love this mechanic in it. Crusaders is another one. I'm not seeing him in front of me.
Well, Zolkin would be a big one.
Yeah, Zolkin has the whole Rondell.
That is a whole gear system in it.
You're staying on the gears and stuff like that, right? So it's a mechanic that a lot of the time it is the main mechanic in a game.
Yeah.
And I do like that about this. I you can build a lot around this game. Coloma is another one that has this in there. Really fun mechanic.
Yeah, absolutely. My next three, by the way, are all ones that were on my list last year, but they've moved around a bit. So my number three is role-playing in games. This has moved up because I play more games now that have a role-playing aspect to them. Now, this isn't just, so the obvious one here is D&D, which I've started playing and I really, really enjoy. But there are games that use role-playing where you are controlling a character that improves or just using it to add to storytelling that aren't just something like a TTRPG, right? So Gloomhaven is one of those where it's kind of there's a role-playing aspect where you're building your character how you want it to be.
Yeah.
me and Jordan, one we talked about, Till the Last Gasp, where that is like a role-playing game, but it's a short version of it where you have objectives that you're still going towards. I'm just really enjoying this where you can kind of play outside the box, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I think that just can really add to a game.
Well, you like story and you like theme.
I like story and theme, and I know you don't, so this would never end up on your list. But I find it something that's, you know, you can get kind of stuck in the math of a game sometimes. And I know that's funny coming from just saying Turing Machine is one of my favorite games.
Yep.
But it's a lot of fun.
For sure. Number two, Shay.
My number two, move down one. I know this was my number one last time. It's now number two, and that is cooperative games. This is what got me into playing board games. I would not have gotten into playing board games without something like Pandemic. Pandemic was the one I started with. I absolutely loved that game. It's the games I wanted to play when I started off. And now, like, I play a mix of games, right?
Yep.
But there are such good cooperative games out there. I just got Daybreak that I'm looking forward to play.
Reviews are really good
for that. I'm really excited for it. So it's just, sometimes I like playing a game where we can work together and I don't have to worry about, like, oh, who am I going to beat type thing. It's fun
You should probably bring that this week.
I should bring it, yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Daybreak. Sorry, not Daybreak. Cooperative.
Cooperative. I think of that as a style of game, not a mechanic.
They are definitely in the mechanics on BGG.
I'm curious. Okay, so my number two, I should have said my number three was engine building.
Right.
My number two was dice manipulation.
Okay, yep.
Now my number two is push your luck.
Right, yeah.
That
moves way up.
It's moved way up, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
It's one of those games that the whole table starts laughing and giggling as people try to keep going, and people are like, and I think Spots has really helped this.
It's really fun.
I love Spots so much. It's such a good game where you're rolling dice, you're putting on the cards, trying to complete those cards. It reminds me of a game I used to play on the app all the time, Roll For It, but it has more of a push your luck aspect to it. And I really appreciate that in that game. And it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Number one, was worker placement. It still is worker placement.
I was going to say, I'm like, did it move?
But I have fine-tuned it this year, and it's different types of workers / dice placement.
Okay, yeah.
Those two specific worker placement aspects of it.
Right.
I like something like Darwin's Journey, where your character or your workers are getting more powerful, or in Anachrony, where you have three different types of workers. I like that in a game.
Yeah.
And I also like to take dice and put it. And if it's bigger than somebody else or lower than somebody else, I get a bonus. Right?
Yeah.
Something like in White Castle. Those two things and worker placement in general is the reason I like games and the reason I play so many games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Shay, you're number one.
My number one moved up. It was number two last time. And that is, I'm also combining ones again.
Yeah.
Story, legacy, campaign games. All very similar genre. I think they all belong together. Going along with role-playing, I like games that you're telling a story throughout. So things like, again, Gloomhaven, things like Artisans of Splendid Vale is one I'm looking forward to play. Pandemic Legacies, Clank Legacy. All of those have it's such an interesting thing of changing the game as you go and making, you know, learning more about your characters and learning more about the story and the work that goes into them. Like, it's just, I find it very fun to be working toward a goal.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the video gamer in me, but by far my favorite.
And we did it.
Yay!
I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good night.